Yes. When people in my world call me by my first name, I know I am among friends and loving associates. Can you believe that? This is the absolute philosopher. What has that got to do with being an absolute philosopher? When people in my world call me by my first name, I know I am among friends and loving associates. What does that have to do with being an absolute philosopher? An absolute philosopher is one who is untouched by the world about him, who is one-pointed on who he is, who is unpossessed by anything in his world, by a name or by anything, and he's non-judgmental. Now, an absolute philosopher, if someone were to say to him, by the way, he would look up his head and say, yes. And if someone were to say to him, I wonder how we should handle this problem. And he would lift up his head and look at you and say, now, what solution are you looking for? And the absolute philosopher would always respond to everything in his world because of what? Because of what? Because he created it. The absolute philosopher created every single thing that is in his world. There's nothing in the absolute philosopher's world that he didn't create. Now, the dishwasher just finished cleaning the dishes this morning. So, Rex, sit. And Rex wanted to make sure it was done to my satisfaction. And so, he was working on it. Rex, sit. Sit. Down. Down. Good boy. My goodness, yes. Down. Hey, down. I know you don't want to sit on your toys. Come on up. Sit down. Good boy. Okay, now sleep. Go to sleep. Relax. Go to sleep. See, I'm the master of my world. Nothing disturbs me. I do all things that are going on around me, and I'm the master of it. I'm untouched by it. I do not lose my content in my thinking, in my talking, in my sharing. When I do anything, I'm just always the master, and you are too. Now, when people in my world call me by my first name, I know I'm among friends and loving associates. Why is that important? Well, when people say, hey, you, you know, when people say, let's solve this problem, then the generic me comes forth. The me that's universal, the me that is under all circumstances, handling circumstances, comes forth. But when you say, Herb, yeah, then I'm listening, what do you have on your mind? What do you want to say? Herb, I love you. Thank you very much. I love me too. Oh, thank you very much. That's very nice of you. Herb, why did you say that terrible thing a few minutes ago? Oh, you listened, huh? You listened. You listened when I said, why did you bring such terrible things into the house when you know that your son is going to look at what you bring in the house and think that's what you approve, and so then he will emulate what you approve. Well, so you are a little pussycat. You are a, what am I trying to say? You are a person who is subject to a wet cat. You say, oh, that poor wet cat. Let's bring the cat in out of the rain. Let's help the little cat. Let's do this. Let's do that, you know. And, you know, you're a pushover. You're a pushover. Now, if you say, oh, put some food under the porch for the cat. Put some food under the shelter of some sort, you know, some box or something for the cat. And so then the cat goes in there and eats the food and shakes and is just as happy as can be. The cat has been out in the rain before. The cat has been running around the street, has been running around the neighborhood doing all these things. But no, you think the cat, oh, he'll die, he'll die. Well, it'll die if you keep thinking those thoughts. But you see, when we realize that we call the cat a cat, and the cat is a cat because it is doing cat things. And a dog is a dog because it's doing dog things. Now, Rex was out in the rain last night, and he brought home a log, a big stick that he wanted to chew on the living room carpet. And I said, Rex, that's not acceptable. And I pushed the stick out the door, his doggy door. He couldn't quite get in. And I said, no, that's not for a house. And so he went outside, and he stood out in the rain there, and he was trying to decide what to do. So for the first time, he took the stick on the mat in, at the front door under the shelter and chewed on the stick. And after a while, he got tired of chewing on the stick too. But you see, he couldn't have his own way, but he was treated like a dog. And dogs play in the rain. Dogs go out and do these things. Then he came in the house, and he shook, and I felt him, and he was a little damp, so I rubbed him down. He liked the rubbing down. But the thing is, he went outside 6 more times. Well, needless to say, I didn't rub him down every time he went out. And he came and shook, and he was perfectly content. And he got up on the leather couch and lay there perfectly comfortable, not disturbing anything. You understand? Mm-hmm. And that's a perfect ideal situation for him. And he lays there with his head hanging over the edge doing it. But you see, when people in my world call me by my first name, I know that I'm among friends and loving associates. And so when I say, Rex, come, Rex, do this, or Rex, do that, he knows he's among loving friends, you know. But if I say, hey, dog, you know, or hey, my golden retriever, you know, or something else, then he says, you know, like my mother when she'd say, Herbert, come here. I knew that I was in trouble. And then she says, Herbie, what do you think of this? You know, a totally different atmosphere, a totally different feeling toward this. Our name is a very precious thing to us. And our name is what we tell people our name is. Because a lot of people, like for instance, Herbert Marty, I cannot see calling him anything but Herbert. Now, his associates who are very close to him, they call him all sorts of other things, like Herbie and Herbie, I don't know what else to call him, and Herb and stuff like that. But it's wrong for me to call him Herb, because I respect him with his name of Herbert. Now, for me to call Gertrude Trudy or Gertie or anything else like that would be disrespect. For me to call Gertrude Gertrude is perfect. Now, can you imagine calling Monica, hey, Monty, hey, M, you know, hey, Ka, Monica, her name is Monica. And you call her by her name because her name is a glorious, beautiful name. And at times she's confused about something, and so she takes her second name and wants to play with that. Well, that doesn't fit her. It's okay, but it's just as an anchor in the middle. But her name is Monica. Now, what is Sylvia's name? Hey, Sylv. Sylv, silly. Hey, whatever, you know. And it just doesn't fit. And if Sylvia doesn't like that, then she shouldn't be touched by it. Because if she is touched by something she doesn't like, she empowers it to continue. Whereas if she isn't touched by it, she just doesn't hear it. Hey, silly, come here. Hey, silly, what are we doing? Silly, let's go to the show. Hey, silly, you want $1 million? Hey, silly, I got some spare change here. I don't know what to do with this. You want a couple hundred? You know, hey, silly. And could you be strong enough not to answer to that? If you are, then you're the master yourself. If you say, are you talking to Sylvia or are you talking to somebody else? And they say, I'm talking to who I want to talk to. I name things what I want to name them. Well, that's fine. Then you just go right ahead. And my name is Sylvia, and that's what I answer to. Can you imagine a pack of 6 dogs standing in front of you, and you call out, Rex, come here. And all the dogs come. You know they weren't well trained. You know they didn't know who they were. They just thought they were a dog that's used to the word come. But if you said, buddy, come. Well, then one would come forth, you know. Or something, but they know their name, and their name is important to them. Now, what is their name? What is the name that's important to you? What do you want to do? How do you want to be referred to in the world? So, whatever you're referred to, just know that your friends refer to you the best. Now, you may recall the story about Patrick, and how Patrick was called by his parents the very loving word Bobby. And all of his young life, he grew up by the name Bobby. And so everyone called him Bobby. And then we were at a seminar, and we discussed our name and the value of our name. And so what did he do? In discussing the value of our name, he came to the realization he wanted his proper name. Now, you can never guess what his name was. But his name was Patrick. Patrick Urs Stalder. Urs meaning bear, Patrick meaning magnificent son of the king, and so forth. Now, he wanted the word Patrick. And so he said to his daddy, call me Patrick. Why, Bobby? Because that's my name, I want to call Patrick. Well, I can't call you Patrick because I'm so used to calling you Bobby. You know, whenever I think of Patrick, I don't think of you. When I think of Bobby, I think of you. Oh, Dad, help me, you know, I want to be called Patrick, you know. And the father had a very difficult time doing it, but he tried. And the brothers, they didn't give it up. Some called him, some didn't. But the little brother, the little stinker, you know, Oliver, he says, hi, Bobby. What you doing, Bobby? Just sort of pushed at him, pushed at him. And so Patrick said, Oliver, if I give you this that you want, which was something he had, will you call me Bobby or will you call me Patrick? And Oliver said, you're going to give that to me? I'll give it to you if you tell me who you're going to call me. Well, just give it to me, Patrick, and I'll use it. I like it, Patrick. Thank you very much, Patrick, you know. And from that day forward, click, Oliver no longer thought of Patrick as Bobby, but as Patrick, because it was to his best interest to do so, and he wasn't stupid. Very brilliant boy. So, you see, this is what we have to do. We have to know how strongly we want to be called by whatever name we want to be called. We had a young man here who was off parole, and he was staying here working on the ranch, and he got himself in trouble with with drugs, and we had to find out where he was and what he was doing. Well, comes to find out, he had a couple aliases. He had other names that he was going by. And we had no name, no way to find out which name he was using at which time, and if it was any of the current names that he was using, or was it a new one that he had just created? Because he felt the less he was known by his old name, the less he would be responsible to the old name. Now, when we are not proud of our name, when we are not proud of our name, then we have a problem. Now, every one of us could change our name and change our identity and change our attitudes to a certain degree, although legally it'll always be written down properly what the name changes are, what the aliases are and stuff. But why do that? Be proud of your name. Be proud of who you are. Let people call you by your first name because that's who you are. Oh, Miss Enns, would you come over here? And you say, yuck, what's on his mind? What's bugging him now? Miss Enns, I want to talk to you. Miss Enns, you know, and she thinks, well, okay. Miss Pukat, please come here to my office. And I say, Inga, Ingeborg, come on over here, I want to show you something. She says, oh, happy time. Ingeborg, come on to my office, I want to show you something. Come on to my office, Ingeborg. Miss Pukat, come in my office. You know, boom, boom, boom. And Miss Jeremini? Oh, boy, oh, boy.
That is so
gentle. Huh?
That is so gentle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Miss Jeremini? Wow. Ellen? I want to show you. Oh, you look at me, Rex. Rex says, I like that name. Ellen? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Her name's Ellen. Your name is Rex. He's lifting up his eyes at me saying, Ellen's a nice name, too. See? So already... he's trying to make time with Ellen over here. And he says, now, Ellen, at cookie time, don't ever forget me. You got your puppies, and they don't forget me. My name is Rex, he says, you know. And I answer to Rex, right, Rex? Mm-hmm. Now, how would you like it to have your dogs answer to other names? Mr. Byerly. Mr. Byerly. Are you Mr. Byerly? Yeah, he's Mr. Byerly. Rex Byerly. And Button. What's his last name?
Duke from Pomerania.
The Duke of Pomerania. Not Byerly, but the Duke of Pomerania. What's Love's last name?
Yeremini.
Remember? You went out and got him. You brought him home. You put him... you gave him the birthing party, and you gave him all the celebration in your house at that time. Remember, we had a big party. We had, oh my goodness, there was about six or eight of us there, weren't there? We had a lot of fun. Okay, nicely. And what did we do? What did we do at that party? We bead him. What did we do?
We baptized him,
yes. And what did we baptize him?
As a king.
As his name. We baptized him as his name. And you see, that's the important thing. Now, will he ever be able to go away from his nickname Love back to his name King again?
No.
Why not? Can't he be loving as a king?
Yes.
Oh, King, come here. Yes, what would you like? Oh, King, lie down. Please, say, please lie down, King. Don't just talk to me like a commoner. I'm a king. But you see, everybody likes their first name. And the only people, I knew Mr. Walter Lawrence Gill, and nobody in his entire staff of hundreds and thousands of people that worked for him in the Gill Electric Battery Company ever called him Lawrence or Walter. They called him Mr. Gill. And so when I worked for him as his real estate broker, I called him Mr. Gill. And it was just the way to do. And there was no friendliness. There was no personalness. He believed in me. He had confidence in my talent and working on his work. And everything was just fine. But Mr. Gill. And remember Dr. Seke? Well, Dr. Seke was in his 80s. And Mr. Gill, too, was in his 80s. And Dr. Seke would be going on a trip. And his wife would drive. And she would sit in the front of their Mercedes, and he would sit in the back seat of their Mercedes. He always sat in the back seat, and she always opened the door for him. Now, that's cool. That's cool. But you see, there was respect there. There was differential, but there was not love. You follow me? There was not love. Oh, Edmund, or Ed, or Eddie, you know, Edmund Bordeaux Seke. Can you imagine anyone calling him anything else but Edmund, or Edmund Bordeaux, or Edmund Bordeaux Seke? You know, fine guy. Contributed a lot of beautiful writing and beautiful things, and we lived on his ranch for the first couple of years. We started the University of Healing at Montage de Mille de Meditations, you know. And it was a lovely place to be. But, you see, people who are able to call other people by their first name are having a great time in life. Now, stop and think. What's God's first name?
God.
God. So, Ellen, what's your first name?
God.
Hey, Sylvia?
Yeah, I joined the club.
Ingeborg?
I'm Ingeborg.
You're God, huh?
Yeah, awesome. Mm-hmm.
God, Ingeborg, God. Okay, now, can you really do that? Can you really realize that that's who you are? Oh, you are such a lover. He snuggles up on my foot here. He thinks this is just so great. He said, I'm getting attention. He said, when I fool with my wound, I get more attention. But he's a great dog. Now, are you a lover?
Yes.
Are you God?
Yes.
Are you living in a wonderful world, doing wonderful things?
Yes.
Having great experiences?
Yes.
Have you ever heard a more rambling talk than we had this morning? And it's fun, isn't it? But just remember, when people in my world call me by my first name, I know I am among friends and loving associates. Hello?
God, Herb.
Well, that's okay too, but Herb is fine.
Gaudy.
Huh?
Gaudy.
Gaudy Herb. Oh, Gaudy. Gaudy. Mm-hmm. Well, this is wonderful. Okay, so think on these things and realize that for the last 20 minutes, you've been having a ball. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.